RNZ Pacific News, Dalohani, I'm Siomanu Tevam Tafai. In Solomon Islands, a former opposition leader, Matthew Wale, has been announced as the second prime ministerial candidate ahead of the election on Thursday. He will face off against former Foreign Affairs Minister Jeremiah Marnelli, who was announced by the Coalition for National Unity and Transformation on Monday. Mr. Wale's coalition, which has yet to be named, resembles the opposition group in the last parliament. It is made up of his own Democratic Party, the United Party, the Party for Rural Advancement, the Umi for Change Party and the Democratic Alliance Party. The former Vanuatu Prime Minister, now opposition leader, has admitted to RNZ Pacific he has regrets about how he came into power. Ishmael Kausakop was elected in November 2022 after a motion of no confidence was filed against the then Prime Minister, Bob Loughman. There has been a trail of no confidence motions filed since then and two more Prime Ministers. Ishmael Kausakop says Vanuatu's upcoming referendum aims to overcome the nation's persistent political instability, something he says he has regrets about.
Yes, I was so focused about trying to change the country, improving Vanuatu's image. Inadvertence on my part, I believe. I just didn't look over my shoulder to see what was happening behind my back. I've learnt my lesson. It's not going to happen again. I will not close my eyes.
Outbreaks of dengue fever and leptospirosis have been declared in parts of Fiji. Fiji's Ministry of Health reports 370 cases of dengue fever and 212 cases of leptospirosis have been reported from the Western Division since the beginning of this year. There is a dengue outbreak in Ovalau and a leptospirosis outbreak has been declared for Kadavu. Authorities have asked people to stay away from flooded rivers or creeks and wear footwear when outside. The Papua New Guinea local level government election dates have been changed because the national census will be conducted around the same time in July, which would tax resources. This is according to Provincial and Local Level Government Affairs Minister Soroi Eoe. The national newspaper reports the issue of writ is expected on July 25th, with polling starting August 24th and ending September 6th. The minister sees local level as an important third tier of government, and the ministry has concern for some time. The South Pacific is in for more high temperatures despite waving goodbye to El Nino. The Australian Bureau of Meteorology has declared an end to the El Nino weather pattern. New Zealand's National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, or NIWA forecaster Ben Noel, says weather in the Pacific is sitting in an interesting phase with excessive heat forecast. This despite the region heading towards a cooler phase with La Nina on the horizon.
We're also seeing really, really warm seas across the region. A lot of the Met services in the Pacific were commenting how hot been, even for the Pacific, you know, a hot place, you expect the islands to be really warm. But even for their standards being, you know, excessively warm and humid on the tail of this El Nino event, and that does look to continue.
In Aotearoa, New Zealand, official numbers due today are set to show unemployment hitting a three-year high. Economists expect unemployment to hit 4.2% for the 3 months ended March, compared to 4% in the previous quarter. Here's our business editor, Giles Beckford.
The rise in the jobless rate will not be because of mass layoffs. That may come later. But for now, the weaker economy has been creating fewer jobs, and the mass immigration of the past year means there are more people chasing them. The labour market is expected to get tougher. That could push unemployment past 5% by the end of the year. The Reserve Bank will be watching the wages numbers closely. Annual growth is currently just under 4%. That's regarded as helping to hold up inflation. And if it stays about there, the Reserve Bank will want to keep interest rates higher for longer.
Workers at a sawmill in Whangarei had a surprise visit to their workshop on Monday, a fully grown kiwi. Lucas James, a sparky at Rosvale's sawmill, says it was his first encounter with one. He says the kiwi explored the workshop before settling in a dark corner for a snooze. Mr. James was surprised by the bird's size, which he says came up to his knees.
I was still blurry-eyed early in the morning and was using the drill press in the workshop. Heard a little scuttle behind me, turned around, and there was a big kiwi running around the middle of the workshop. So I called all the guys, had a look, and sort of panicked and didn't know what to do. So we shut all the workshop doors, and it was my first 2 hours of my Monday morning was on kiwi watch, making sure it didn't get out and get squashed by anything.
Lucas James says dock staff collected the curious visitor and released it in a nearby predator control area at Mount Tiger. In world news, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said an offensive against Hamas in Rafah will be carried out regardless of whether a ceasefire and hostage release deal is reached. Hamas has still not given its response to the latest ceasefire proposals hammered out during talks in Cairo. The BBC's Yolande Nald reports.
This Hamas delegation that was in Cairo meeting Egyptian and Qatari mediators left, and we understand that they're now in consultations with the top Hamas leadership. Feeding into that, we do have these new comments by the Israeli Prime Minister. On the one hand, he's reiterating what he's said now for many weeks, that Israel is still determined to go into Rafah in the very south of the Gaza Strip to eliminate Hamas battalions there, that they'll do that with or without a new hostage deal, but obviously the timing here is of the essence. This is a very sensitive moment, and there are fears that anything could scupper a new deal at this point.
In the US, four officers have been fatally shot and four others wounded in one of the deadliest assaults on US law enforcement in decades. Police say at least one suspected attacker was found dead in the front yard of a barricaded home in Charlotte, North Carolina, after a standoff that lasted 3 hours. Authorities say two armed suspects were involved. The officers were part of a U.S. Marshals Service-led task force attempting to serve a warrant on a felon wanted for illegally possessing a firearm. In sport, the Flying Fijians could be playing in Qatar if they make it to the Final Four in the planned Nations Championship finals from 2026. The Daily Mail has revealed that Qatar has put forward an £800 million proposal to host the first four finals between 2026 to 2032. A revamped Nations Championships is set to include the Six Nations team, Rugby Championships teams, and Fiji and Japan. Qatar's proposal includes using the football stadiums and infrastructure built for the 2022 FIFA World Cup. South Sydney have sacked coach Jason Demetrio following a dismal start to the NRL season. The Rabbitohs have just one win and six losses. They also crashed out of finals contention under Demetrio's watch last year, losing seven of their last 10 games. World champions Erica Fairweather and Lewis Clairbert head a nine-strong New Zealand swim team named yesterday for the Paris Olympics. Six members of the squad are Olympic debutants, Barry Guy reports.
Fairweather won her world title in the 400-metre freestyle in Doha earlier this year, also claiming a silver and a bronze. Clairbert won the 400 medley. Fairweather will contest four events in Paris and Clairbert two. They're joined by fellow Tokyo Olympian Eve Thomas, who will also have a busy programme contesting four events. Fairweather is joined by two other Dunedin swimmers, Kane Fellows and Caitlin Deans. National coach Gary Francis says they're excited about the potential of the squad, and with the times they swam at the recent national championships, he's expecting some special performances in Paris.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.